The Commodore trembled slightly as the memory of his last woman filled his entire body, the softness of her skin, the weight of a breast in the palm of his hand, the feel of a nipple as it hardened with desire, the scent of her moist passion, the delicious heat as he slid inside. Then he noticed their position. By the blood of the captain, the rafts were hundreds of yards past the island and dangerously close to the currents. Quickly shuffling across the tilted floor of the battleship, the old man tugged repeatedly on a tasseled cord, and a bell rang loudly, the peals echoing slightly as they reverberated down the metal hallway of the military ship.
"General Quarters! We have company aport beam!"
"Company?"
A big man appeared at the bottom of the angled ladder. Bare-chested, he was covered with homemade tattoos, and a machete hung at his right hip.
"Who left the island without permission, sir?"
"Nobody, bosun. It's new folks. Fellow survivors."
Trying to hide a smile, the man looked skeptically at the white hair.
"Been having a nip of the brew again, have we, sir?"
"It's true, you ass. Outlanders are here, and two are women. Live women."
"It's a lie."
"No, mate. It's true. See for yourself."
Bounding up the stairs, the bosun rushed to the telescope and soon found the pair of rafts to the west of the island.
"By the coast gods! It's a bunch of people, and some of them are women! And they're near the damn currents! They'll be swept away and killed!"
The Commodore stomped a foot.
"I know, you fool! Send the last working longboat! Use every drop of juice! But get those women! We must have them alive!"
The bosun rubbed a sweaty hand on his thigh.
"Women! I will get them, sir! And chill anybody who dares to try to stop us!"
Watching as the junkyard island receded into the distance, the companions started to relax when the side of a huge oil tanker split apart as colossal doors spread wide. Filling the interior was a full-size dockyard. Oil lanterns hung in clusters, boxes and crates were stacked before warehouses, and swarms of men worked with winches and cranes. Then from the shadows, two sleek speedboats darted into view, skipping across the waves at incredible velocities.
"Triple red!"
Bryant kept a grip on the helm and drew his hand blaster. With a thumb, he flicked off the safety. Prepared for possible trouble, the companions leveled their weapons and dropped into firing positions, tracking the incoming ships. Dean dropped the clip in his Browning high power to check the load, then slammed it back in again, jacking the slide.
"Might be friendly."
"Not at that speed. Friends don't come charging full speed at total strangers."
A bearded man on board one of the rushing vessels called out through a megaphone, but the words were distorted from the sheer distance. Christy brushed the tangles of hair away from her ears.
"Something about heave to, but I couldn't get the rest over the noise of those engines."
Ryan grunted at the pronouncement. He knew her hearing was a lot sharper than most people's. Jack eased back the hammer on his 357 Magnum Colt.
"Fuck 'em. Lies anyhow."
Withdrawing the Navy telescope from his pouch, JB extended the device to its full length.
"Hard to see with all the bouncing."
He used a hand to cushion the telescope end rather than press the hard metal directly on his face. Only a fool did such a thing. It was a good way to lose the eye completely.
"Well?"
JB compacted the scope to the size of a soup can.
"They're heavily armed and carrying nets."
Mildred drew her ZKR blaster.
"We know what that means."
Suddenly, the two speedboats began to separate, arcing in different directions around the near-stationary rafts. Taking a stance on the rolling deck, the physician braced her blaster at the wrist and drew in a slow breath. The foremost speedboat was still far away when she fired three times. The pilot slumped at the wheel, and the craft veered off sharply, heading out to sea.
"Take the tiller!"
Holstering his piece, Jack switched with the big man, and Ryan unlimbered the Steyr. Working the bolt to chamber around, he wrapped a strap about his forearm to help steady the aim and tracked the coming speedboat through the scope for a single heartbeat, then fired. The cowling flipped off the outboard motor and the engine caught fire. The boat slowed dramatically and the men on board threw buckets of water on the burning machinery. Then, JB opened up with the Uzi. Black dots peppered the hull, a windshield cracked, two men dropped, and another tumbled overboard, his face gone. Sporadic gunfire came from the junkyard island as the rafts continued floating away, the current that had carried them there building in strength. Then another vessel appeared from within the tanker, a huge, powerful boat covered with pre-dark weapons, machine guns, and torpedo tubes.
Damn, it's a PT boat from World War II. That can easily catch us and blow these rafts out of the water.
Doc grimly cocked the hammer on his Lamar.
Fortunately, they do not want us dead. However, we do not reciprocate the sentiment.
Doc fired twice, the booming revolver sounding as if it exploded rather than merely discharged, a lance of flame more than a foot long vomiting from its pitted muzzle. The first .44 caliber miniball missed, but the second round impacted directly on the hull, making only a small dent.
By the three Kennedys! That floating tank is armored better than the Merrimack.
Holding his blaster in both hands, Dean emptied a clip at the massive boat. If the boy hit the vessel, it wasn't discernible. He reloaded and tried again.
They're not even going to waste ammo shooting.
JB slapped a fresh clip into the Uzi and triggered short controlled bursts. Instead of the men, he was aiming for the torpedo tubes, hoping for an explosion.
They'll just ram us and bust these rafts into kindling. Then rescue the female survivors.
Rape, you mean?
Mildred stuffed her jacket pockets with grins for close combat. Thumbing fresh rounds into her Smith & Wesson pistol, Christy could see the men on board, laughing and jeering in unbridled lust. The sight made her blood run cold. After being almost raped twice in her lifetime, she would rather chill herself than let them have her as a prisoner, a helpless plaything to be abused for their sexual torture, or even worse, a breeder to bear children as fast as possible until she died on a birthing bed whelping another slave for them to ravage. Grabbing the AK-47, Christy flipped the selector switch to full auto and emptied the last clip at the rapidly approaching warship. The fusillade of rounds ricocheted off the hull with no effect. Swaying to the motion of the building waves, Ryan swept the enemy boat with rounds from the Steyr, but the copper-jacketed 7.62mm rounds at the long blaster were useless against the military armor of the hulking PT boat.
Fire blast. Small arms are useless against that behemoth. Mind the backwash. I'm going to use a law.
Grabbing a fat tube from under the canvas mound, Ryan yanked the weapon to its full length. The sights popped up on top, and a large red button was exposed.
Clear!
Ryan zeroed in on the aft port. The water was getting rough, waves chopping at the raft.
Clear!
Heading straight toward the rafts, the PT boat loomed before them as Ryan pressed the launch button. The rocket hit the vessel amidships, punching through the hull and detonating. Torn to pieces, the deck lifted off the gunwale as the boat was blown apart, men and machinery spewing outward in a geyser of destruction. As the current quickly took the rafts away from the sinking wreckage, Ryan tossed the spent tube overboard and grabbed another. Warily, he waited for another speedboat to appear, but no more vessels ventured from the junkyard build.
I don't like this. They gave up too quickly.
Maybe they don't have any more boats.
I saw a dozen more at the dock. A few had to be in working condition.
Ryan collapsed the launcher.
There's something wrong here. Damned if I know what, though.
We shot the shit out of them. They're just scared of folks with guns.
Could be. And again, they charged straight into our blasters and didn't shoot back. They wanted prisoners. That doesn't sound cowardly.
No. No, it doesn't.
Unexpectedly, the rafts lurched in a rush of acceleration that nearly knocked the companions off their feet.
Now what was that? A riptide?
Hey!
Jack was throwing his weight against the pillar. There was no response.
Going south! Can't stop!
Doc also struggled with the helm.
Same here! The current is too strong!
Choppy waves broke over the front of the first raft, covering the companions with misty spray.
Does that taste salty?
Christy touched her lips. In sudden understanding, Mildred dipped a hand into the rough water and licked a finger. That was brine, sure enough.
Sweet Jesus, this is why they stopped chasing us! We're caught in an underwater river!
Once, long ago, the physician had seen a television program on such events. A severe earthquake would occasionally lower a large section of land, and the sea would rush along an existing riverbed, pushing the fresh water out of its way as it plowed inland. Nukes, or some natural disaster, had to have rearranged the Carolinas, and now they were trapped in a reverse river, probably heading